Judith, welcome to SBS Radio's Armenian program.
Thank you very much, Vahe.
Judith, we last spoke in June 2014, and the topic was your visit to Armenia and the destruction of Khachkars in Nakhichevan and the 3D reconstruction of the destroyed cemetery. What happened to the project?
Yes, so we've done two trips back into the region since you and I last spoke. The most recent trip was the most productive. We crossed into northern Iran, to just opposite the river from what is now called Nakhichevan. And it's now been designated as a conflict zone. And we were very, very fortunate to be given a driver from the Armenian Apostolic Church in Iran. And that driver took us along the border region so that we could take photographs of Julfa Cemetery site. I think I mentioned to you in the last time we spoke that we had tried to get to that region and we'd been deported from Iran.
Yes, 3 days you stayed in the airport, I think.
Yes, that's right, 3 days we stayed in the airport. But this time we managed it. We went across the land border from Agarak. And then I took with me two other photographers and we drove very slowly along the border. And our driver was able to point out exactly where Julfa Cemetery had stood, and we took photographs from the windows of the cars. The very intimidating part of the world, there are watchtowers every 50 metres along there with soldiers with machine guns pointed at the car and so on. So it was quite intimidating. But we got all the photographs. Then we came back to Sydney and we made a very large 3D visualization of the site, which we dropped 20 of Julfa's cars and ramshackle stones and tombstones into. And then we took that exhibition to Rome and we exhibited our 3D reconstruction of Julfa Cemetery to the Armenian diaspora in Rome. And then we took aspects of that show on to St. Lazaro to show some of the priests there, the work that we had done. So it's been a very productive couple of years. We now have a template for the whole cemetery, and our goal had always been to reconstruct all of the 2,000 Khachkars from that destroyed medieval cemetery at Shugar and to put them back into the landscape. But unfortunately, the university which supports us, the Australian Catholic University, which has generously donated close to $3 million to this project, has now reached a point where it cannot continue to support the project financially without assistance from some kind of philanthropic trust or external funding body, and we've been unable to find that support. So if that situation continues, if we're unable to find that support, then the university will discontinue the project in January of next year.
Judith, there is a common theme between the first interview almost 3 years ago and this one, Khachkars. So about the story of Khachkars and the context between the Armenian community and the Warpuri people, how this project started, how you managed to take Bishop Najarian 4,000 kilometres away?
Yes, it was a very curious project. But during the time that I've been working on this project with the Armenians, I have also been visiting Lajamanu community, which is a Walpuri community, about 22 hours drive northwest of Alice Springs. It's a very remote community. And I have a friend there, so I have been visiting there maybe twice a year over the last 4 or 5 years. And during this time, because I've had very close relationships with the Armenian church here in Sydney, I've been talking to the bishop about these people and saying to him, well, if you're going to come all the way over to the other side of the world with your ministry and you're wanting to care for people who need help, not just Armenian community, because there's a little church there and they get very little support and very little interest from outside, and you could potentially create a very good relationship with Australia's first people. Anyway, over a period of years, we discussed this, and he became very curious about the indigenous people and about how they had suffered massacres and displacement and loss of their cultural identity in a similar way to the Armenians. And he started to feel quite compassionate towards these people. And so when I asked him a few months ago, well, would you like to come with me? I'm going to go out to see the Walpuri people again, and maybe this could be your opportunity to come. Then he and Nishan, his deacon, decided that they would do it and that they would bring a couple of hatchkars out and give them as presents to the Baptist church out there and to its pastor, Jerry Jungala.
Judith, what was the reaction of Warlpiri people when they saw the hatchkars? Was it received well? It's an unusual gift.
Oh, it was received very well. They were very, very moved. The church in Lajamanu is essentially a tin shed. They have nothing there. They have a sort of an old table, which they use for an altar. They have some paintings, beautiful paintings Walpuri people have made to decorate the church. But they don't have the normal finery that you would find in a church, in any kind of church. And they didn't have their own cross. And so it meant an enormous amount to them to have the bishop and Nishan come. When they came, they wore all of their religious clothing, all of their church clothing, the braid and the beautiful colours and the hood and everything. And they did a special blessing of the hatchkar ceremony there. And the audience was made up of children and old people and dogs and a handful of white people who had come up with me. And you could just see that the elders were so moved. They had tears in their eyes. The sweetest thing about it was that they kept talking about the Armenians as a tribe. They kept saying, you know, these are our brothers and sisters from the Armenian tribe and they've come a long way to see us. And it was very, very traditional. And the other very, very sweet thing was the way that the Walpuri people offered asylum to Armenian people. Jerry Jungala said on behalf of the congregation that they understood that the Armenian people had suffered massacres similar to their own, and that if the Armenian people didn't have anywhere to go, they'd be welcome to come to Lajamanu community and live alongside their Walpuri brothers and sisters. So it was really lovely. And then Jerry Jungala and the bishop came together and they decided that they would make a mutual signed statement acknowledging the genocide and the massacres that had occurred to each other's respective peoples. And so they drafted a statement and they signed it together. And when you look at the bishop's signature, he's written not only his Armenian name, but he's included the special skin name that was given to him by Walpuri elders, which is Jungala. So Jerry Jungala gave the bishop his own skin name to show that they are brothers.
Judith, where the hatchkars were made?
I'm not sure about that. They were brought by the Armenian church, so I assume that they were made in Armenia.
And how long you planned this event? Did it happen overnight or took a long time?
No, well, I've been speaking to the Armenian church about the Walpuri community for about 3 years. I really liked the idea that they could come out because I knew that they would have so much in common. And, you know, sometimes the best response isn't just protest, but it can be solidarity. You know, we have this problem where the Australian government doesn't tell the truth about the extent of massacres against Aboriginal people. And it also doesn't tell the truth about the Armenian genocide. And we can protest against that. But there's also some merit in getting together groups of people that have been oppressed and then those oppressions have been lied about and getting those people together to support each other mutually and to help make each other strong. And I knew that if I could get the bishop and Nishan out there into community, that this would be the case. It was a very unusual place for a bishop of the importance of our bishop to come. Only the week before, he had been meeting with the Pope. And then suddenly, he was sleeping, you know, on a camp bed in a tin shed in an Aboriginal community where they don't know any of the protocols. They don't know that you're supposed to kiss the bishop's ring. So they were all just throwing their arms around him and wanting to hug him and talk with him as though he were a parish priest. And I think you know, he responded quite warmly to that. He's a very compassionate man and he didn't make anybody feel like they should have been observing other protocols. He just sort of made friends with people and provided the kind of pastoral care that you would expect from a minister in the church.
Judith, are there plans for regular contacts between the Armenian community and the Warlpiri people? Now that there are hatchkars in the settlement, it's a good reason to visit.
It's a very good reason to visit. There's been nothing formalised, but Nishan in particular has spoken to me a couple of times about how he intends to go back and to help out in the community, to sort of offer them some support. And they're very, very poor in Lajamanu, and it can be quite a difficult place to live. And so he was talking to me about how the church might be able to offer some ongoing support for those people, but nothing at this stage has been formalised.
Is the Lajamanu settlement easily accessible if someone visits? Are there places to stay?
There are no places to stay, but you can camp there. And if you are not able to camp, you can contact the Arts Centre in Lajamanu. And the Arts Centre have got a couple of rooms where people can hire the rooms and stay. And there are also a couple of guest houses in town, but they have to be organised through the Arts Centre. So there's nothing formal. But yes, Armenian people are very welcome up there. It's the easiest way to get there is to fly into Darwin. And then from Darwin, you can hire a mining spec vehicle or a four-wheel drive, and then you can drive to Lajamanu from Darwin. That's how the bishop and Nishan made their way to Lajamanu community. But it is quite remote.
Are you working on a project right now?
Yes, I am. I'm working on a second project, which is we're trying to develop an app, which is called Kudiji. Kudiji is a Walpuri word that means shield or to ward off or to guard. And this app, we're hoping to put some of the ideas of Kudiji into an app which can be disseminated among young people, well, young Walpuri people, but also young Indigenous people across the country as a suicide deterrent. Because at the moment in this country, we lose 3 Aboriginal people a week to suicide. It's the highest suicide rate of any group in the world. And the Walpuri elders have had this idea that if they could share the ideas of Kudiji, which are ideas that are supposed to help Aboriginal people become strong through language, culture, skin name, ceremony and law, if they could disseminate those ideas, that Walpuri people and other Indigenous people would become resilient and it would help guard against suicidal thoughts, as opposed to using the traditional ideas that we have in our white communities of treating the symptoms of depression. So I'm working on that project at the moment, in addition to continuing work as far as we can on our project to do with Armenian Kachkars. Well, we have a call out at the moment on our Facebook page and a number of other places for anybody who feels strongly that they would like to see Chilsa Cemetery restored in its entirety. Because between now and the end of January, there's still the possibility that if we could find philanthropic support to continue this project, we would be able to put back all of the 2,000 stones of destroyed Jugar Cemetery. But without philanthropic support, the university will close this project down in January.
Judy, thank you very much for the interview. Wish you and your family a Merry Christmas and a happy, prosperous New Year.
Merry Christmas to you too. Bye.